What is the value of prevention in fighting domestic violence? A new federal program may provide answers to that question as 10 states become eligible to receive federal funds under a new program to try and seek best practices in prevention strategies for dealing with domestic violence. The Domestic Violence Homicide Prevention Demonstration Initiative seeks credible alternatives to law enforcement and the criminal justice system, which can only intervene after circumstances have already escalated to the point of violence. With more information on the mission of this $2.3 million federal program, Suzanne C. DeBuse joins us. She's the CEO of the Jeannie Geiger Crisis Center, which advocates for the end of domestic violence and provides care for victims. Suzanne, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So are you eligible for this federal money, and what sorts of programs has the federal government decided to really give a boost to?
It's a really interesting program, and there are two parts to it. There are actually 12 communities that have been selected to be pilot sites. Then there's a second part of the grant, which is really for the technical assistance providers who will be working in the communities. And the Jeannie Geiger Crisis Center, in partnership with the Maryland Network Against Domestic Violence and John Hopkins School of Nursing, we are the TA providers for this contract to those 12 communities. And what's interesting is Dr. Jacqueline Campbell from John Hopkins School of Nursing actually did this research study and really found that there were lethality factors, risk factors that were present in nearly every domestic violence homicide or attempted domestic violence homicide. So we and Maryland, in parallel tracks, decided to really figure out, okay, so if we've got the research and we know what the research tells us, that domestic violence homicides, they could be predictable. And if they're predictable, can we prevent them? So Maryland, in their project, is the Lethality Assessment Project, developed a tool that they use with law enforcement, that law enforcement actually uses in the field, to identify victims who are at high risk of being murdered, and immediately connects them to services. And then in Newburyport at the Jeannie Geiger Crisis Center, we created the Domestic Violence High-Risk Team Model, which brings together a multidisciplinary team once a month and screens in high-risk cases. And we do two things. We work really hard to keep the victim safe, and we work really hard to contain the offender, and so that he knows that we're watching. And we've had some phenomenal success in both programs. So the TA that we provided to these 12 communities will be really about assessing which of these models works best in which communities and evaluating the ability to replicate them and the outcomes.
Talking with Suzanne DeBuse, who's the CEO of the Jeannie Geiger Crisis Center in Massachusetts, also data around the country on the prevention of domestic violence, which is eligible for this $2.3 million federal grant to try to determine models that actually work. What sort of risk factors do you identify? I mean, are you screening people? What's the database that develops the households to watch?
Well, there's several, and there are three or four that we find are present in almost all of the high-risk cases that we've seen, and that's threats to kill the victim, access to guns, forced sex, and probably the biggest one, at least in our high-risk work, has been strangulation. And strangulation is present, I think, in about 78% of the cases that we screen in the high risk team. So those are some of the other ones. But you know, they're as seemingly innocuous as, you know, the offender doesn't have a job, or that you know, there's the violence is beginning to escalate. That's not innocuous, but. It is really taking the whole context. What I love about this work is that it gives us the ability to look not at just one single incident of violence. When you do that, you really are missing the story. And when you can apply the risk factors together with an interview with the victim and really understand what's going on and that things are building at home and that she's afraid, you know, one of the risk indicators is her own assessment about whether or not she's safe. So when you can do that, you have a story and you have what you need to do the right thing with that victim.
Before we go, is there a conflict with judges and law enforcement on the regulation of guns in domestic violence, high-risk homes, and simply the regulation of, say, restraining orders, that sort of thing? I mean, does the law enforcement community default on allowing people to keep their guns even when they've been shown to be a threat?
You know, the law enforcement that we've worked with, I have to say, really do understand the importance of removing the guns from the household. And, you know, on the domestic violence high-risk teams, they work really hard to do that and making sure that that happens. Judges, I think, also understand their role. There's a great organization that actually is working with us as part of this contract that will be reaching out to judges to make sure that they understand the importance of using risk in the courtroom and that it can be a valuable tool. And most, you know, I have to say, law enforcement and courts, they really want information. They want good information to make good decisions. And I think a lot of bad decisions have been made because they had an incomplete picture or they didn't understand the power of their role. So we're going to work to help.
Well, Suzanne DeBuse, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
Suzanne C. DeBuse is the CEO of the Jeannie Geiger Crisis Center in Massachusetts, which advocates for the end of domestic violence and provides care for victims, also eligible for this new $2.3 million federal grant to determine prevention strategies for domestic violence.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.